If you haven't seen the 2011, you know what? Never mind. I'm not even going to do this. Peter, you tell them.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, we're going to spoil it. Not that this story is very complex or anything like that, but if you are someone who doesn't want to get spoiled on things, pause this episode, go watch the movie, and then hear us chop it up.
Right. All right, now let's yell fire in the hole and kick this fucking door in. Everybody ready? All right, let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast.
Jump into the heat, spinning on our feet, in a Technicolor beat.
All right, and this is Jay Lost the Day, and I'm sitting here with a good friend of mine, another podcaster, part of the Movie Pod Squad, Peter from Podstalgic. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Very happy to have you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. You are one of the very first guests of NIT, and pretty much one of the first guests I've ever had.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
That wasn't me interviewing somebody. So that's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it's just one of those things that we're part of this community, you know, where we all love to talk about movies. And somehow you and I, we got to talking about The Raid. And I feel like it all started with a little John Wick talk. And I just asked you, like, hey, did you ever seen that Raid Redemption? And I think that's kind of, you know, where it started. And here we are, you know, about to do like some type of four-way movie crossover of some sorts here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've definitely got this in the works. We're going to start off here with The Raid Redemption. I know we've got John Wick in the works at some point, and then we're going to get into the sequels. So that's definitely going to be really fun. As a matter of fact, Peter, why don't you tell everybody what Podstalgic's all about?
Okay, yeah, thanks. Podstalgic, you know, it is another film, movie, review, podcast, you know, whatever you want to call it, cinema. I don't focus on a lot of new releases, really. You know, the idea is kind of revisiting movies that I grew up with. I have like a different co-host every week. It could be my teenage son. Usually when he's on, we do movies that I grew up watching, and he gives the millennials perspective on it. But yeah, we just revisit movies, new and old, perhaps new releases that I missed, like in the last couple years. For example, John Wick, you know, that you and I, we just kind of talked about. You'll be joining me on my show to review John Wick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one that I missed out on. Maybe that was the talk initially, you know? So that's pretty much it. And what I do is, like, when we talk about a movie, I also talk about the other movies that came out that same weekend. What was the number one song on the Billboard Top 100? You know, so just taking a nostalgic look. That's really what the focus is. Mainly on 80s and 90s, but new movies as well.
All right, that's awesome, man. As a matter of fact, as you were saying, you have the different co-hosts on. I've listened to a lot of them with other Pod Squad members, and the ones with your son, I really enjoy, because the millennial outlook on a lot of these movies has been hilarious to me, and just kind of some of the way, I guess, his views are towards certain people versus the way I look at people is kind of hilarious and situations, and I really enjoyed it. I was like, if you can actually more of those, ping me on more often, I'd actually enjoy that quite a bit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The problem is, you know, it actually started out as a father and son podcast.
Oh, okay.
So like, yeah, like the first, I don't know, 30, 40 episodes he was on there, maybe even less than that. But as he got older, he became more involved in after school activities. You know, he was doing parkour for a few years, staying after school to help out other students. So he's really a great student. And so he gets on whenever he can. And If I had my choice, he'd be my permanent co-host, you know, but sometimes he's grounded or things like that. But if you go back to the earlier stuff, you know, it's very interesting actually to kind of get his perspective on movies that we loved. You know, for example, one really old movie we did was The Three Amigos.
Oh.
And even me revisiting it, I go, you know what? Not as funny as I remember, but to him, he wasn't a fan. He didn't really care for it at all.
Just wasn't a good fan of it.
Yeah, so things like that is very surprising, you know, to hear things like that. Okay. You know, he was really high on Face Off. He enjoyed that quite a bit. That's more of, matter of fact, we did a revamp of the show. You know, I even changed the title, and Face Off was the first one of Podstalgic. So if anyone wants to check that out, he was on there. He was also on the 100th episode where we talked Teen Wolf. So it's really interesting to go back and listen to hear his voice deepen as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I can see that. I'm going to have to go back and check out the earlier episodes because I want to hear just how much his voice deepens.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, the show has evolved. You know, I've tried doing different segments, and yeah, it's really interesting. The very first episode ever was the 1987 RoboCop.
Nice.
And then we also did, like, Coming to America. So I was being very mindful, you know. It's like, if this is the stuff that he could see on TV now, it's okay. You know, so RoboCop, people are like, it's violent. Well, so is The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, so is The Walking Dead. I mean, exactly, exactly. I'm going to be honest with you. The level of violence and the shit that you can get away with on TV compared to the level of what you could get away with when even like 20 years ago, way different. Way different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, for example, the movie we're going to talk about tonight, you know, I'm pretty sure very little of it is taken out of it. You know, they'll probably throw it on Spike TV and they just take out the language.
I could see that. I could see that. You see this on TV? That's a violent movie, man. I'm telling you what.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, hell. But, speaking of this, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start getting into it, and we're going to get to what everybody's here for.
Dan jangan lupa bersenang-senang.
The Raid Redemption. That's right. This is an Indonesian martial arts, like, SWAT team film where the SWAT team is actually going in to infiltrate this kingpin's, like, compound that he has spent the last 6 years building up to the point this has become a no-go zone for police. And they are led to believe that they are going in here to actually capture and take him out for the betterment of society. But when they get in to the actual mission, they find out that this is not exactly held to be true. So, Peter, what do you think about this?
You know, I don't know if this reminded you of anything else, but I did see this first, and then I think it was, what, the following year, Dread came out with Carl Urban.
You know what? You mentioned it, and yes, it is very reminiscent. That movie is very reminiscent of this. I don't know which one actually came out first. I guess you said the next one came out first.
Right.
You saw it after that. I'd have to look it up, but seriously, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
I did see Dread afterwards, yeah. And it looks like The Raid Redemption came out in 2012, but it was released in 2011 in Indonesia. So I feel like it did come out first, but I didn't look up, you know, the information on Dread. But if you think about it, it's very similar.
Yeah, it is. It is. They pretty much have the same general premise too. He's all going it.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, damn you, Dread. I feel like Dread stole this one's story because it was better. This thing is actually a total masterpiece in my opinion, because from the moment this kicks in and this guy is like standing there training, he's hitting the bag. You know, he's just going at it, and then he gets the call, and then he goes in there and he talks. talks to his pregnant wife, and he's just like, he's just promising her he's about to come back. Then when they hop into the actual truck and we're getting there, and it's just, you can feel the tension between these guys as they're riding down, and you can tell kind of as which ones are supposed to be like the more hardened guy veterans here that have more experience as to what's about to happen. And you can tell the fresh meat, because that, like, there's a couple of guys in there, they are sitting there gripping their guns, shaking.
And doesn't this movie, man, it sets off the tone early on too. You get the villain, and he's got like four guys on their knees with their back turned towards him,
chairs.
And he's just going down the line. Yeah, execution, man, right there, just down the road.
Oh, dude, it's terrible. Like they're explaining him. They explain Mad Dog, and then they go into that scene. He is, like you said, he's sitting there eating it like bowl of soup. They're in the chairs, and just boo, 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 boo. He gets that last guy, and click, click.
I like how he just sets that revolver on the guy's shoulder. He's like, here, hold this for me.
Yeah, he's like patting him on the head. Hey, why don't you just watch this for me for a minute?
Don't move.
I love how this guy actually has bullets in this drawer with this hammer. So that way he fucks with the guy sitting in the chair. He thinks he's getting a bullet out of this drawer when he walks back there. And then as he walks up, boom, hammer. Oh, that's terrible. I mean, I guess it makes me a terrible person in a sense, but it's just, I thought it was clever. I thought it was well done. And I thought if you're going to fuck with somebody and not have enough bullets in the gun to begin with, that's not a bad idea.
It isn't. But so was this the first time you had heard about this movie, was when I asked you about it?
It really was. When y'all were, I think you and Beardo had been sitting there discussing it, and we had been talking about John Wick, and then Beardo had come in with the raid, and y'all were kind of mentioning it. I had mentioned that I hadn't seen it, and when decided we were going to set this up, this was the first time I had seen this movie, and I am absolutely glad I saw it. Absolutely glad. This was one of those like gems that you just didn't expect to find. This is one of those ones where I'm like, you know, Ip Man, the movie Ip Man. I kind of didn't watch it when it first came out. And then my cousin was like, oh, no, it's actually really good. And I was like, okay, I'll put it on. And I put it on. And that is honestly one of my favorite Kung Fu series right now.
I just bought the trilogy. Thing. I've only seen the first one, though.
Oh, the first one and the second one are amazing. The third one is really good, but out of all of them, it is definitely the third one.
And that's the one with Mike Tyson, right?
Yeah. It's actually pretty good. It's just like the first two, in my opinion, the first one is the best one to me. Just that initial introduction into his story. But either way, we can finally get into this old man, though, after the trucks, right? He finally gets there, and we meet the lieutenant, because I'm not actually going to attempt to say most of their names, because I know it's not going to happen.
All I know is like Mad Dog, who's our main guy, Rama, right?
So our main guy is Rama. We have Mad Dog, we have Tama, and Andy. I know that much. That much I have kind of pinned down here, and that the lieutenant is that gray-haired bastard.
Right.
who I've seen before. I just couldn't think of where I had seen him. And I also kept thinking, by God, his eyebrows are dark.
Doesn't he kind of remind you of like the, not the commandant, but the captain from like Police Academy a little bit, but like Indonesian?
Yeah, actually. It's exactly kind of who it reminds you of a little bit. That's hilarious. But they get into this, you know, he's like, oh, we're... everybody needs to be suited up and ready. These greenhorns better be ready to give their lives if they have to give them. They get underway like it is, and everything's rolling smooth. Everything is actually rolling smooth as shit until about the sixth floor.
That's when the announcement's made, right? Like, hey, free rent if you guys take out these cops.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they hit this little dude and they're like, oh shit, he's seen us. And they're trying to stop, like the actual head of the SWAT team is like, all right, so just stop. Don't move. Just stop. we won't shoot you as long as you stop. And they put their guns down. The motherfucker takes right off. Mm-hmm. And what's the lieutenant do? First thing, boom, puts a bullet right through the neck of this kid. But apparently it's not fast enough to stop him from yelling police.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he yells police, yeah, that's when it all goes to hell. They make that announcement about the rent. And these guys just start going down like flies.
They really do, man.
Literally.
Isn't this like the best Mortal Kombat movie that doesn't exist?
Right? Best Mortal Kombat movie that doesn't exist. I actually thought that was funny because the general premise of this movie is kind of similar to that of Mortal Kombat. Go in and stop a tyrant. But this one's better.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's a lot better.
It really is.
I still don't understand how that bullet doesn't actually get there before this kid yells police, though. That still bugged me. I'm like, he's like, police! Oh. And then the bullet comes through the wall.
Plot device.
Yeah, it's a plot device. It really was. But man, these guys literally, like, they just start dropping, like we said, like flies. And then we finally, I'm not sure, I guess Tama or Andy, the lead guy there, he sends Mad Dog and the other feller out. Because I think the other guy's name is actually Andy. Is that Andy?
The brother?
Yeah, the brother. Or his name Tama.
I think the brother's Andy.
If it was Tama or Rama. I think it's Andy.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Andy is the brother.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. It was Rama and Andy. And then he sends out Mad Dog and Andy. And Mad Dog is apparently, I guess, the head of the... And he tells Andy that he's going to have these guys go with him. And Andy's just like, nah, man, okay. I guess that's going to be all right. To which he stabs those two guys that goes with him dead in the neck.
Right in the elevator.
Right in the elevator. And kind of slides away and goes and does his thing. Then we slide back into Rama, who is actually kicking the living fuck out of everybody at this point with the actual traditional Indonesian fighting style of Pekan Silat.
Good job on you, man. I couldn't, I wouldn't have been able to get that.
I was trying. I've actually, while I was looking at it earlier, I spent a minute trying to say some of these. Because the thing is Mad Dog, the Yayan Ruhan.
Bless you.
Ruhayan. Yeah, right? He played Mad Dog. He's the guy that played Mad Dog. This guy actually trained Indonesian presidential special forces.
Yeah.
This guy literally is
a badass.
Yeah. Not just in this movie, but and when I looked and when I saw this fact, that made that fight scene later on a lot easier to make sense as to why it was so goddamn hard.
Yeah. Now, did you know Mad Dog was also in Force Awakens and also Tama?
I didn't know. Where were they?
Oh, in the beginning when they came on the Millennium Falcon when Chewie and Han Solo had just gotten there with the, what are those aliens that were beneath the ground?
Oh, hell.
It's that scene. They arrive and...
Yeah. No, I got you.
One of the Asian gangs. Kind of early on, like if you go back and watch him, like there's Mad Dog right there. They didn't even try to make him look different.
That's awesome. No, I have to actually go back and look at this. It's been a while since I've watched it, so yeah. I was like, what? Here's another fun part about this. All of the guns in this actual movie are all airsoft guns.
That's right.
Every last one of them.
Muzzle flashes and all that were added in digitally later on.
Speaking of just hard pronounce before my ass actually slides back into going back into this movie, the original title of this, Serban Maut. I think it's Maut. Yeah, it's Serban Maut. Means death raid.
I like that.
I like that. I was like, man, you know what I would like to have seen? Death raid.
Yeah, death raid instead sounds like raid. Like an 80s action movie.
It does. It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Except with the name like Death Raid, it would probably have to be more Flash.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn 80s.
Yeah. You know, at least, the funny thing is we're going to be getting an American remake too.
Are we?
We are. Yeah. It was announced a long time ago, but then people kept on like signing on and leaving and signing on and leaving. And I think at the time of this recording, just last month, it was Frank Grillo, I think, signed on as the lead with Joe Carnahan or something like that to direct, who also did like A-Team and the Gray with Liam Neeson.
Okay.
So, kind of interesting, you know, because you look at those movies, you don't think this, you know, The Raid Redemption, but yeah. At least Gareth Evans, he's going to be like executive producer.
Well, yeah. I don't know, man. My issue is, all right, now I'm going to be honest with you. My issue is, although I am a huge movie buff and I watch a lot of American movies, when you tend to take something that was made in a different country and then you remake it in America, you tend to fuck the hell out of it.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I blame the directors on that because many have actually done it very well. I mean, you look at, you know, one of the more recent ones, The Departed, you know, Martin Scorsese. I love Infernal Affairs. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. The trilogy itself is actually pretty decent. So if anyone hasn't checked out Infernal Affairs, watch that. And, you know, because when The Departed got nominated and ultimately won Best Picture, Scorsese was just saying, oh, you know, it was inspired by Infernal Affairs. But you go back and watch that, you're like, holy shit, some of those scenes were ripped out, like, line by line.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, but that's a great example right there where it translated, but, you know, Scorsese did a lot differently, too, you know, to make
it... That is
it,
true.
Yeah, make it unique in his.
I don't know. That's something I don't find fault with, if you can actually do exactly what you just said. If you take something and then you can make it your own...
Mm-hmm.
Then you know what? I can actually appreciate that. But if you do something that's supposed to be almost an exact copy and you fuck it up, I feel like something just totally went wrong with the director. Yeah, and I agree with you, with the director on that one. I'm like, how do you mess up?
Like Psycho, for example?
Story, yeah.
Like,
oh, God.
Like, dude, you took shot for shot. How'd you fuck that up?
Well, oh, dude, I'm never going to quit complaining about The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I'm never going to quit complaining.
Wait, you don't like the remake?
Fucking hate that remake to no end. And you have to understand, I love the original.
The original is pretty good.
The original I saw when I was 8 years old, and I have watched it a shit ton. It is one of my favorite stories because the actual original story, like I said, has so many different levels and layers to it. Whereas the one with Ben Stiller is literally, it's just this guy that works at fucking Time Magazine that is fucking lame.
Can I plug something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do another show called Original Remake, and that was actually one of our episodes where we did The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And
awesome.
That was the first time I actually seen the remake, and because it was so different, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I'm actually not a Ben Stiller fan, like, at all. And I actually liked that movie quite a bit. So that's one episode we did. And that's what we try to do, where we try to go back and revisit like a really old movie, you know. One of my favorite ones that we did was The Man Who Knew Too Little. Is that right?
Yep, Hitchcock. Man Who Knew Too Little.
Yeah, both directed by Hitchcock, about, 10, 15 years apart or something like that. And that in itself is like, wow, how is the same guy direct, you know, the same movie, but just so differently?
Because he was a master of film.
Yeah.
That's how, I'm going to be honest with you.
Gonna have to get you on one of those episodes too.
Oh, I would love to be on one of those episodes. That would be awesome, bud. I love talking film and remakes and different things. And, I always say to everybody that enjoyed that movie, if you enjoyed it, enjoy it. It's just the stories are so vastly different to me. Mm-hmm. And the original is very close to the actual original story from 1930s because it's based on a 1939, like, original story, and then it was turned into the movie in 1947. So, enough with that. What we actually want to hear about is how Rama is kicking everybody's fucking ass in this fucking hallway. And
yeah,
I think everybody stole the hallway ass-kicking scenes from this guy.
Oh,
I think
God,
everybody stole it from this guy. Literally, this is the most violent, brutal fucking beating I've seen some people get in a hallway. I was like, holy shit, because some of them were still moving after this. Yeah. And I'm like, how are you not dead?
You talking about the door frame part with the neck?
Oh, no. His ass dead. His ass dead. I was sitting here watching that with my wife, and she goes, what did he just do? And I said, just wait. Because I, you know, like I said, this is my first viewing, but when he went back, I was like, holy fuck, he just like he just almost decapitated him with the bottom of that door. And she, it flips over, and it's, you see him sitting there just gagging on this door in his throat.
And his body just shaking.
Yeah, just shaking. And she's like, oh my God.
I'm like, it's a great shot, too. Like, it is. To set it up, you know, you're talking about this epic fight scene in the hallway, and then like the door busts behind them, and it's kind of shot from like, from the side there, and then you see Rama grab the guy by like his shoulders or something, and kind of jumps backward into this room, and then they kind of pan out, and then like, you know, yeah, the dude's neck is right there on top of the, you know, the bottom of the door.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm. Like I said, and he actually takes one old boy, and there's a light in the side of that wall, and he is just like beating him down his head down the fucking wall, and he busted him his light and just continues to beat him down the wall. And I was like, holy fuck, is it? I kept waiting for the guy's eyes to explode. Oh, it was a hilarious scene to me because I was just like, I didn't expect it. I did not expect this scene. I did not expect the fight scenes to go this well. I did not expect to see such brutality, really.
I didn't either. You know, it's kind of one of those things like, you know, I keep saying it, but, you know, I hadn't seen John Wick until like, you know, getting, you know, prepared for our crossover here. And I've always heard, you know, the story is very dense, but it's just the fight scene, you know, the story of John Wick, like losing his dog, ultimately, like, you know, going on this revenge rampage. And kind of the same thing with the Raid Redemption. Like, I heard from a handful of people, I think it was via Twitter, maybe. They're just like, you guys got to watch this, man. The fight choreography is just amazing. And so when it came out at like Best Buy, I saw it on Blu-ray for like $15. I'm like, I'm just going to buy it, man. Like, people were talking, you know, speaking very highly of this movie. And I watched it. I was like, oh my God, this is so brutal. It's so violent. I go, I've never seen anything like this. You know, it's kind of like, gosh, you know, it's just self-contained in one building. You know, it's, I don't want to compare it to like Phone Booth or something like that, but you know, the Phone Booth is just that's your location. That's it. And this one is just like, and I just started watching and I'm like, God, it's like Mortal Kombat, man. Like every floor is a new boss, you know, and just kind of just working your way all the way up to the top. And then you got this little guy, Mad Dog, who we keep talking about. He's got to be like 5'3".
Oh, dude. If 5'3". I was like, this guy's got to be like 5'2", 5'0". I was like, man, well, he is tiny.
What'd you think about the very first time we see him and Andy, you know, with the, where, is it Andy? No, Jaka.
It's Jaka.
It's Jaka.
Man.
Yeah. Jaka's one of the, he's like the sergeant of the SWAT team.
He is the actual head of the SWAT team. He's the guy that is doing all the briefing on the way into this and has been the lead and has constantly been talking to the lieutenant, telling him he's going to fucking get all of his team the hell out of here because he's lied to every single one of them.
He's what that figures it out.
He figures it out that he has lied to all of them, and this has actually been for personal gain for someone else in trying to take this guy out. But he is fighting Mad Dog, like you said, and holy hell, this is another one of those fight scenes that, dude, this guy, it's...
It starts off with him holding a gun.
Here's the thing that gets me is this guy literally, he has him. He's got him. All he's got to do is pull the trigger.
And you're like, why aren't you just shooting?
I'm I'm sitting there waiting for a minute. Right? I'm like, why is he not shooting him? He sets that gun down, they go to fight, and I'm like, oh, this is why. Because he is about to beat the flying hell out of the sergeant. And he does.
Yeah, he says he was never a fan of the guns.
No.
You know, that's why he never pulled the trigger. He goes, it takes away the brush. And then that's when he puts it down, and
he does. And I love that he says this, because later on throughout the fight, you see him experiencing this rush. Actually, he's sitting there just, oh, he loves it. You can tell he is getting his rocks off just every few minutes.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, it's hilarious. But no, dude, he, at one point, like near the end of the fight, old boy is like standing up and he runs across there and gives him this running neck breaker. I was just like, holy hell. Cause he gives him this running neck and flips him all the way over and smacks and like basically breaks this guy's back with it on the table.
Man, you know, you just reminded me of the scene where Rama throws a guy like across the stairwell, and then he breaks his back. Like he lands on his back.
Yeah.
He just bends backwards. cards too.
Oh, I saw that. God,
the things they do in this, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I rewound that. I saw that, and I was like, did you see that? And she goes, what? And I was like, I rewound it. I was like, keep a strong eye on this guy as he goes across the stairwell. Boom! She was like, oh! And I'm like, yeah! Oh, God! Oh, dude, it is amazing. But then he finally, you know, he picks him up and he takes the long draw about breaking his neck. Admittedly, during this part of the movie, I guess it's supposed to be tension. And I'm just kind of sitting there going, is he going to break his neck yet so we can move this along? I mean, he's taking a little too long breaking his neck. It's like, I understand he's getting his rocks off, but how many times can you jizz over one neck break?
quite a bit for that little bit of the body he's got. But man, yeah, every fight scene is pretty good. I think about like the Coke lab, you know.
Yo, the Coke fight in there is
pretty good too, like on top of the table. Yes. Like how narrow the table is.
Oh yeah, that's, you know, smooth. Like
I think about like Tony Jaa and like Ong Bak and stuff like that. You know, this is like, it's almost another level, except for like Tony Jaa had some pretty ridiculous stunts, but the fighting here is just, it's also very unique, very fast. And yeah, man, I don't know. It's so good. Like, I don't know how else we can say it, but to like, just go watch the damn movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, everybody needs to watch this damn movie, needs to watch it. But you know, like you say, there's this great fight scene, and then Andy meets up with Rama, and you get the whole, I guess, introduction to the idea that they are now releasing to you the information that him and Andy are brothers. Mm-hmm. And that Rama has had no idea where Andy has been for the last 6 years. And Andy has apparently been rising heavily through the ranks of crime, you know, crime here, and is very good at it. And has no intention of leaving, even though Rama wants him to come back and be with the family. And
be an uncle.
Yeah, to be an uncle. And Andy gets pissed at him for that, because he's happy for a moment that he is about to be an uncle and that his brother is about to have a child, but then mad because he feels like Rama is trying to use this as a way to try to make him come with him and leave the life behind. And Andy has no intention of leaving. None whatsoever. He convinces Rama that he's not going to leave, and that he needs to stay here, and that as soon as the coast is clear, he needs to get the shit out of here. He takes off and meets up with Mad Dog, which is bringing the body of what his name was?
Jakar.
Yeah, that's a
Jakar.
That's close. bringing the body back to
the sergeant.
Yeah, the sergeant back to Tama. And when they get back to Tama, Tama's not happy. He is pissed that A is not the person he wanted, and then B, because Andy has brought him nothing. And by nothing, he means nothing. He is like, now, Andy, I know you wouldn't waste my motherfucking time. Ain't no way you'd waste my motherfucking time. Let me see them hands. He has him turn him the fuck over. And then he grabs him by that motherfucking hand and just stabs him through. I was like, you motherfucker, you waste my motherfucking time. And shows him the fact that he's honestly seen where Andy had pulled Rama in. And they had been talking. And he's like, the only truth around here are my monitors. They are the only truth.
You know, I thought I had forgotten how this scene played out. And so when he's like, show me your hands, I was like, oh, it's going to shake. And then he's gonna know that he's got Andy is hiding something.
Yep.
But I was like, oh, he's keeping it pretty still. So he thinks it's legit. But then I forgot about the whole monitor thing. You know, because there was a throwaway line earlier. I think one of the other characters had mentioned, you know, about the cameras and stuff.
There was a throwaway line earlier in there about how he actually always had the monitors and always had eyes everywhere. So even if wherever the cameras weren't, hell, there wasn't no way out anyway. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely that. And then, well, we kind of, you know, get into it, and Rama's like kind of deciding he's going to leave, and they're all going to get out of there. And, you know, they're all trying to kind of make it out. And then he finds out that Andy is now strung up by Mad Dog, and he is ready to, and Rama's like, nope, I got to save my brother. So, you know, yeah, he goes back, and he goes in there. Now, this is the fun part here. Now, this is what I was mentioning earlier about the fact that this fight just seemed to be a slightly unbelievable. until I realized this guy was in real life just that big a badass. You know, it.
You know what it was missing, though? Somebody needs to recut this with Mortal Kombat. You know, it just had the theme song playing in the background.
I tell you what, I'm gonna get the actual scene cut, and I'm just gonna reinsert that. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna find this. I'm gonna cut it, and then I'm gonna do this. All right. Guarantee you, when I say I'm gonna do it. It might take me about 3 weeks, but it's gonna happen.
Okay. All right.
Shit, that's funny.
Man, that's such a great fight scene. You know, the two brothers on one.
But this is what got again, me, though. Like, literally, he walks in and Mad Dog just lets him out.
It's so small.
Mad Dog just, he's like, oh, wait, you showed up? Fuck yeah. Lets him down, stops beating on his brother. He's like, here, I'm going to let you bandage up his motherfucking hand real quick. All right. Now I'm going to step in between you. You're both going to fight me. Yep. And, it is like a 10-minute goddamn fight scene.
It really is.
And they cannot beat him up for like 9 minutes. They are like, fighting and they are exchanging back and forth, but he is like literally beating up two goddamn people that are twice his size.
You know, it makes a lot of sense why him and Andy are like the top guys, but I don't know why Mad Dog isn't like further up, you know, for being such a badass.
Well, the thing is, you got to figure there was Tama. He's top guy.
Right.
Mad Dog, it was literally Mad Dog and then Andy. Like, literally, right. There was no way Mad Dog was getting it going any higher up. Like, Mad Dog actually outranked Andy. So, that was definitely something I noticed. So, Mad Dog and Andy was his right and left hand. So, Mad Dog was right, Andy was left. Because if you notice, he stabbed him right through his motherfucking hand. his right hand, he did. Because he was like, you ain't no right hand, kick hand. oh,
so good.
Yeah, it is. But that fight scene is great, man. Like we say, we keep mentioning this, and they finally get him. Don't get us wrong. Rama and Andy actually finally get Mad Dog, and it takes a while. And even as like he, we're sitting there, Mad Dog's about to like fucking break Rama's neck, and my wife at this point literally is yelling at the TV, "No!" All right, Andy picks up that fluorescent light and stabs him right through the neck with it. And I was like, okay, surely Mad Dog's gonna die. Like right after this, he stabbed him right in the jugular with this giant with this piece of glass. Nope, Mad Dog goes into berserker mode for the next like couple moments. And almost kills both of them. I was like, holy shit, this guy is like literally on the verge of death, goes into berserker mode and like fucking almost kills both of them before they finally snap his fucking neck. And they have to double team do it. They do like a double team move to him and actually pull this off and finally break his neck and kill him. But, it is wild the entire time, man. That is an amazing fight scene.
It really is. You know, let's just say Andy was a little rusty, and so he needed his brother's help to be able to take down Mad Dog.
I think so. I think Andy had been spending a little too much time being the brains, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tama is sitting there, and he's like, thinking he's going to win, as usual. And the lieutenant actually makes it in and holds Mr. Tama at gunpoint, to which... you know, he gets him, he ties him up, and he goes to dragging him down the stairs. And Tama's like, what do you think? You think they're actually going to let you sit at the top with them? You think they're ever going to let your peon ass actually get any part of this motherfucking pie? They're just using you to get part of me, because you take me in, what are they going to do? I know the people to pay. I know the right people to pay. I'm just going to pay them. Shit, we're going to be good. I'll be right back where I'm at. Hell, by this time, yesterday. And the lieutenant loses it. He gets mad. He shoots Tama through the head.
I really like this subplot with the whole lieutenant thing, too, because, you know, we didn't even mention that this is, like, what, an hour 40?
Yeah, this is an
41.
Hour and 41 minutes, roughly.
Not that short, but I like the added depth, you know, to the story. It's not just about a guy trying to save his brother, you know? It's more than that. Like, why are these guys here? You know, because you can't be like, hey, I need to rescue my brother. Let's get a SWAT team. Well, the ulterior motives by the lieutenant here. So yeah. I like that addition.
You know, I really, like you said, I really like the mold, and this is what made me really enjoy this film as we go. Like I say, he kills this guy, and then he tries to blow his own head off. All right, he's out of bullets, and they go ahead and arrest him. Rama and, you know, Andy and whoever's left, and the other guy, his one partner, Rama's partner, who's left, you know, they arrest the lieutenant and go to walking out, and Andy lets him go, and they part ways. At this point, Andy going back to go on to be basically the criminal head of this organization at this point, and Rama back to his wife and his child, and that's where we end the film. You know, that's where it all comes together, and like you said, this is what I really enjoyed about the film. There's a multitude of levels of story in here. It starts off as a basic SWAT team, go in, get, you know, extract whoever storyline. That is the basic storyline we are started off with, and a basic extraction storyline to which is kind of flowered upon as we go through this to the actual resident that lives there that now is gets a whole has a part in this because he's helping these people and what right. his story is with his wife. And you have what's going on with the lieutenant storyline going on here. So you have that subplot running on. And then you get the subplot of Rama and his brother actually revealed along here. So you have like a couple of different subplots running throughout the film that just develop as it goes on. And I really enjoyed it. I thought the way it was done was really well done. I thought the choreography for the fighting was amazing. And, you know, I can't say I know the actors for the film very much, for like really anything too much apart from this, but hell, I enjoyed every single person in the film. I thought everybody did an amazing job.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. This movie, I mean, you kind of, you know, kind of hit the nail there. It's a fine balance, you know, the story, because you take away some of those subplots, it's going to be pretty boring. It's just all fighting, right? I think that's where it would probably lose its viewers, and people are going to say, yeah, there's no story here. The added characters, you know, that family kind of reminds me a little bit of like World War Z a little bit, you know, where they're hiding with another family. But that's fine. You know, adds more characters.
It does.
A little bit more depth. Yeah, just makes it a little bit more enjoyable. So that way it's just not so linear and just all fighting.
Oh, that's true. Know?
So I think it makes it more of an action movie than actual martial arts.
Oh, I would watch this any day as opposed to World War Z.
I think everyone would agree with you.
Yes. I would watch Mystery Men any day as opposed to watching World War Z.
Mystery Men is actually kind of underrated.
Hey, now here's the thing. We actually did this episode that we just released not too long ago. We were asked, you know, what our guilty pleasure films were. And, you know, I said From Hell because I was brain farting at the time. From Hell was really the best one I could think of at then. Because it is underrated. Like, I think it's actually a really good film. And now most of the people I know fucking think it's a terrible film. Because
the Hughes Brothers.
Well, yeah, it's the Hughes Brothers. And because of the fact that, you know, it's a lot different than the actual graphic novel it's based on. There's a bunch of differences. You know, they didn't much care for that. And I'm like, well, I saw this before I actually read that. So I still kind of enjoy the movie. But Mystery Men, I enjoy Mystery Men no matter how bad it is. And it is terrible, my good man. It is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's not great. Yeah.
If you know, and the fun part is, if you know anything about the actual Mystery Men, the comic book series, that's why it's fucking terrible. There was no Screwball. There was no flaming carrot, and there was
no Spleen.
Spleen. Like you say, there was in the Blue Mirage, and the show. Like all the characters were kind of messed up. But, definitely. But it has been really enjoyable. We really enjoyed this movie. What do you think you would actually, rate this? Do you think, would you give it a case, a 40, or, would you say you're going to sleep? Now, the case would be, basically, partying and watching this movie.
Oh, yeah, man. Case for sure. Yeah. I mean, No question. I mean, when it was brought up in our movie Pod Squad, I jumped on it. I was like, hey, man, anybody that hasn't seen it needs to see see it. That's how I feel about this movie. I think when I bought part two, I still hadn't watched it at the time, but I did know another podcaster that was looking to review it. I was like, here, man, take my digital code. Hurry up, put one up. You know, so for whatever reason, you know how it is. Sometimes you just don't get to certain movies. So I definitely can't wait to watch part two and review that with you too.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Well, speaking of that, everybody, I think we're going to start wrapping this up. It's getting late. We're getting tired. And at the same time, y'all keep an eye out for the John Wick crossover with my buddy Peter here that will actually be on Podstalgic. And then keep an eye out for the other two, for the Raid 2 and John Wick 2 as we continue to do this. And all right. Well, I hope everybody's enjoyed this. It's been really fun. Peter, I've really enjoyed having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And then, well, everybody, take care. It's been fun, and stay colorful.